All right. Tim Emerson of Kuan Yin Healing, and we're here for our Q&A call. And it's just you and me so far, Deborah. So how are things going?
I feel like things are going really well. I took kind of a social media break for a couple of weeks so I could enjoy family and activities that were going on around with Christmas. And then I was catching up, listening to some of the modules and listened to the one from last week. And, excuse me, got a cough. Excuse me, sorry about that.
Right.
And I really enjoyed the analogy of what it was like to be awakened or to be, you know, starting out on your path, because that's a question that's kind of been rolling around in the back of my mind, and that it was compared to, you know, getting ready to go on a big trip, you know, a new trip, was really cool, because that's how I have felt about my conscious health project that I've been working on. And so, you know, after we did the reconnection and stuff, I, in some ways, it didn't feel like a whole lot of stuff had changed or shifted. And I'm thinking now, maybe I was already kind of starting on that path, and that was kind of a confirmation that, you know, I'm excited about this. It really makes me happy to do it. And so I don't necessarily have to spend a lot of time looking and thinking, you know, well, is this it, or what else might there be? I mean, there's going to be, you know, it's going to be an adventure, but I don't have to, I feel confident that I'm already kind of there, or, you know, I've got a direction, and it's good. So
yeah,
that's kind of where things are in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm I noticed that right from the start. Excuse me. When I started working with people, is that people almost never arrive cold. They are almost always, and I think probably always, are already on a journey, and they. And Kuan Yin Healing gets pulled in as a resource rather than the start of something. Yeah. And that was true for me as well. You know, what at the moment was a startling experience for me, that wasn't the start of the story. The story started before that. I mean, I was really looking for things. I just wasn't sure what. So, yeah, absolutely.
So yes, I'm excited, and I'm happy, and I'm having a really good time. and so, you know, but I've had other projects in the past where I've had, you know, been much more structured about goals and timelines and things like that. And as they came and went and came and went and came and went, you know, my stress level would go up, and not quite so structured this time, you know, softer goals and softer, you know, deadlines. And as they've come and gone a couple of times, it's like, oh, well, I'll just reset that goal. And I've got something else I'm working on in the process, but I still feel like I'm moving forward and I'm okay with it. So I'm liking this process, this journey, much more than the ones I've done in the past. So.
Well, wonderful. That's good to hear. I'm glad for you.
Thank you.
I'd like, you know, there is different kinds of journeys, and this journey definitely, there are conceptual journeys and there are strategic journeys. And this is very much a conceptual journey that leads up into our last module, which lays the groundwork for a strategic journey, which is going to be different for everybody because everybody's going to have different objectives. But the concepts are the same. You were kind of hinting at this, I think. Conceptual journeys have to happen before strategic journeys happen. And I, because that sets the entire framework and also makes the strategy possible. And I can share from long experience, it's entirely possible to go on a strategic journey without a conceptual shift. The results are less than satisfactory. You know, I've achieved all my objectives and I'm not happy. What's wrong with this picture?
Right.
And that we, you know, one of the comments from, you know, folks right when the journey was the first time I presented this program was, you know, a lot of the stuff people have known before, but how they fit together, all these things fit together wasn't all clear. And that's how all these things exist. It exists in pieces everywhere. And so it's hard without some sort of a structure program to put that into a conceptual framework that, in fact, is practical, from which we can build strategies. And it doesn't much matter what the strategies are, just that we have them. You know, like you said, you know, you have a plan. It's perfectly fine for the plan to be adjusted, even frequently, you know, to pending reality, right?
Right. I've found it interesting that as we've been going through the lessons week by week, and this probably speaks back to your point that people are often already started on a journey before, you know, they become connected with Kuan Yin, but generally you have a lesson on something I kind of started to figure out a couple of weeks earlier, which is kind of a confirmation to me that, you know, truth is truth and that it kind of gets revealed in a certain order. And it isn't necessarily specific to a certain process or a certain healer or teacher, that you're going to find the healer or the teacher or the instructor or whatever who's going to kind of speak your language and put it in the words that's going to make all those pieces of the puzzle, you know, make sense and fall together. But the truth, the principle of the truth is always the same, and there seems to be kind of a process that that happens with that. So I have found that very interesting as we've been going through these different lessons.
Well, that's a great realization because there's, you know, pretty much everybody has come across and holds on to, you know, the idea that there are many paths up the mountain, but you know, usually that's, you know, doesn't much matter whether you're Buddhist or Sufi or whatever, but what you said, the realization that there is nonetheless a process that can be couched in different ways, but there still is a process, is an important realization. So kudos on recognizing that. Because without that, you can't. It's hard to undergo a process when you don't know it exists.
Yeah, because before you realize that it's a process, it just feels like a trial.
Yeah, you know, one common example, and I'm not knocking this because in a different circumstance, I'd be preaching it, but there's a very common approach among spiritually conscious folk that, I'll just sit here and let the universe take care of it for me. And and that's an important component, but that's just sitting in pure potentiality. It isn't going to get a lot done. So being able to hold on to that important truth, you know, if somebody was just do, we'd be telling them, why don't you stop and tune into potentiality for a little while, you know, access a bigger library. But to understand that nonetheless there was a process, because how does the universe work? It works it works in a process, and there are systems within systems within systems that exist very naturally in nature. And no one's in charge of them. When I moved out to the country, I had this view of nature as kind of a, you know, a Darwinistic, tooth and nature and tooth and claw kind of thing. And I spent a year living off wild plants, largely. And so got to really watch things very closely. And what I first thought was a meadow where, you know, the next grass or weed would come and just crowd out what had been there. On the second year, I found out that that wasn't true, because what happened is that a particular grass or weed would flower and then die. And just as it was dying, the next one would supplant it. And there was a cycle, and the cycle repeated the next year. When I had my first garden, I realized that, you know, if you grow beans, for example, and pick them just when they're ripe, there'll be no problems. If you leave them a day after ripe, the insects will descend. It's actually very orderly. And the same thing is true of animals, and there the competition is a little harder, you know. Raccoons know the day your corn ripens. and so forth. But the whole point is there is you know, it's not chaotic on the one hand, and on the other hand, nor is it things just happen. But there are just, you know, there are processes that within processes that repeat. And so while we're letting the universe happen and getting in touch with all that, that's very, very important, we can also recognize that there are, in fact, our processes for what we want to do that exist naturally in nature, and that if we, when we get clear about those processes, that life becomes a lot easier, because we don't have to pretend we're controlling it.
Right. You can start to see those ebbs and flows in people's lives and whatnot, as well as things that are created, you know, in their life, and then things are, you know, old stuff is taken away and recreated in a different way. It's been pretty interesting to start to discern that in not just, you know, nature as it goes through seasons, that people's lives go through seasons, and even, you know, whole communities. And you know, we look at, like, our government, our economy, let's say our economy specifically, you know, they generally have cycles. And from that standpoint, you know, we've had a little bit longer cycle. The U.S. has had a little bit longer cycle than most nations, most economies, but ours is starting to go through a natural process that generally happens to most economies. And it's, you know, for people who don't see that, don't recognize that, that's really scary, because that means change, you know, having to let go of what they're familiar with and what they know. And rather than coming into step and saying, okay, what does this now require me to do? What shifts do I have to make to get back in step and get back in sync? The whole thing becomes stressful, I guess, if you can't see that, if you can't see that pattern. But when you see the pattern, it's much easier. It's just becomes part of life, becomes part of a cycle, as you said.
Yeah. Yeah, big people are quick to go, the whole world's going to hell, when the reality is it's things have been worse before, and they'll be worse again, and they'll be better again, and that's just putting short-term interpretations on it at that.
And I like the way that you analogy. Go ahead.
I like the way that you describe that as the process, because you know, you explained it exactly the way we did. Was it 2 weeks ago? I don't remember now. About, you know, the beginning of the process, as you just described it, is something old gets taken away. The first thing we do is Shiva. The first thing we do is break patterns. The first thing we do is leave the comfort zone. That's the beginning of the process. And until then, it's not a process. It's the same old.
Right.
And in that understanding, this is actually something I haven't shared with anybody yet, so you're the first. In that understanding that everything is a process, then clarifying, achieving your goals, or just cleaning up messes, whatever it happens to be, messes metaphorically, I mean, although literally too, because when you understand that they are processes, then you can look in, and it takes a little bit of thinking and planning, but you can get out with a piece of paper and say, okay, what are my objectives, you know, overall, and what are the processes that go into that? And it sounds kind of silly when you think of that, but all the things that aren't working well, it's not life is hard and life is a struggle. It's you have a system with a problem in it. And if we lay out the steps of the system, it becomes immediately apparent where it is, and you can tweak it. This is unfortunately much easier to do with someone else than by ourselves. I just went through this recently with planning for 2014. And she didn't do anything but ask me questions that obviously I knew the answers to, because I'm just providing information. But when we were done, there was this crystal clear picture of which were the priorities and in what order. And that only happened because he sat down and let's get this on paper.
Mm-hmm.
What is the process?
Right. I agree with that totally. I felt like there were some things that weren't working in, you know, conjunction with what you were speaking about in last week's lesson. And so I decided I was going to, you know, totally shift that energy. So I started tearing apart a couple of rooms in my house and reorganized and kind of halfway set up a new office. I have to purchase a few things to make all that complete and, you know, get the storage that I'm going to need. But I walk in here now and the whole energy that is around me feels much more open and much more creative and much more supportive for what I feel like I'm moving into. As you said, there's a process. You got to take part or at least allow the old stuff to come apart and move
right.
it in a new direction.
Right, right. And now you feel much, much probably, I would guess, much more excited about jumping in and getting things done.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like
I'm actually excited about doing taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's organized and I know where it is.
I had a messed up day on Friday, so I had been meaning to do this. So I went to the bank, changed bank, set up new business accounts. And so finance is not my favorite thing to do. I'm good at it, just not my favorite thing to do. So it doesn't get done as much as it should, and which is one of the systems I'm changing. But anyway, the point is now there are new systems, and now it's like a new toy. And to go in and play with. And they're like, I'm all about new toys. That sounds like more fun.
Yeah, aren't we all? That's great.
If I suddenly lose you, I'll call you back. My cat is insistent on going into this crawl space and unplugging things. So far, I still have half my power. I just lost my lights. Honey, stop it.
Walking across the power strip or something.
Well, no, I moved something that formerly was there, and now it created a vacuum, which my cat is determined to fill.
I see.
I'm going to have to do something about that. I was going to say years ago, when I graduated college? Not sure now. Maybe it was when I got my master's. I think that was it. My parents gave me you know, this is years ago, so kind of pre-internet, in a practical sense, my parents gave me the Menana Bridge Dictionary, you know, one of the one of the 4-inch thick ones, which I wanted. Yeah. I was really glad to have this. And then I noticed over the months that I never used it. And I said, well, that's weird because I really did want it. And then I realized, wait a second, my workspace is here. My dictionary is in the other room. I'm just not going to get up to go get it. So I simply moved the dictionary into my workspace and suddenly started using it all the time. So it sounds, you know, it's such a simple thing, but we're not used to thinking in systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I think we can do a lot to support ourselves. You spoke, I think it was the homework video, talked about needing to add, you know, as your plan evolves, sometimes you need to ask for help. And that means, you know, bringing in extra helpers, extra workers, you know, adding in a new system, like you're adding in some kind of financial aspect to help you with that part. And systems are, you know, a great way to, you know, kind of orchestrate many things going on. You get to play conductor instead of just play musician. Oh, did I lose you?
Hello.
Well, there you are. Hello.
Sorry. Once everything was unplugged, everything had to get back up and online, and so.
Oh yeah.
What was that? I'm sorry about that. So I was just starting to talk about, there's a process to fix the one with the electrical cords. So, you know, if I kind of have trouble moving from, you know, kind of playing around on the computer without meaning to and getting started on my day, my work. And if I consistently run into, you know, find that, oh, you know, I should have gotten to work or something like that. The problem there, this is my point, is different ways of thinking about things. The problem there is that there is no step in the process from moving to one to the other. You just at some point do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens there is there simply needs to be a step. And so when they say, you know, well, you know, I spend too much time playing around instead of moving to work. And you ask, okay, well, what's the step in the process that moves that forward that needs to be tweaked? And you go, well, there is no step. Aha! That's exactly the problem.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be, you know, what are we going to introduce that moves you from one to the other? You know, and it could
right.
be something as simple as, you know, there are programs that limit how much time you can spend. So you can actually set it for, like, you know, 30 minutes in Facebook. And after 30 minutes, it will lock you out of Facebook. or simply setting the alarm or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having your friend, hey, you know, in 30 minutes, call me and tell me to get my ass in gear. But just that there's some sort of a system. And so that's such a simple thing, but just a couple of simple things like that, and the world just seems like overwhelming, and there's so many things to do, and I can't manage all this. And the reality is, this is a few simple points in system tweaks would solve all of it, and easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think oftentimes we think it has to be something bigger and more dramatic and more complicated. I think it gets created into something bigger in our minds than it really is, because it often means people focus on the part that's giving up or losing rather than on the receiving end of that process. What am I going to have to give up? Am I going to have to give up TV time or, whatever in order to make time for something else? And so it's the letting go part is often scary for people, and so it gets created into a much bigger monster than it really is.
Right, right. Or to make decisions about that. If TV time is important, well, how much TV time and when is it? And set that mm-hmm. aside, and the rest of the time, by our own decisions, we don't need to be watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
I like to watch movies for a while, for example. And but there's, I watch movies later in the evening. I don't watch movies in the middle of the day.
Right.
And conversely, that also means, I don't, well, sometimes I do, but usually I don't stay up half the night working on a work problem. Put in a good day's work, have dinner, tie up loose ends, and that's a day. Go enjoy mm-hmm. your evening. Everything else waits for the morning. And it just makes things so much simpler. It's less mm-hmm. time, but the extra time isn't productive. So that's kind of the shaky way to explain it. But the point is coming back to looking at the processes rather than just trying to, what next, kind of cram in stuff like in that overwhelming way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a shift of thinking, to be sure, to look at the mess that we're in and realize it's quite ordered. They're just problems with the systems that need tweaking.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them probably simple. And taking one step at a time. I remember this was an eye-opener for me years ago. Raymond Aron pointed out, pick what's your big project this month. Prioritize. And get it. And then, as he put it, you pick a mess a month. Because how many messes can you realistically have in a life? 17? Year and a half. You'll be all done.
That's great.
So that's the value of prioritizing as well. It's like, well, mm-hmm. Here are the things I want to do, which are the biggest ones. And breaking down projects into tasks speaks to mm-hmm. process as well. And when projects are broken down into tasks, then we don't schedule 3 days for something that clearly is going to take 6 weeks.
Right. And that kind of speaks to the goal setting, what was it, nominal, target, and outrage?
Yeah, marginal, target, and outrageous, yeah.
Yeah, so if mess is one of those outrageous things, getting that whole project cleared up is an outrageous goal, then the marginal and the target things that you do become the smaller steps in between of breaking it down into, bite-sized chunks.
And the beauty of the marginal step is that it starts right where our journey started. Marginal starts at being honest. It's mm-hmm. not, well, here's what I think I would kind of like to do minimally. It goes, no, based on what you've actually done in the past, what's going to get done. That's total honesty. Anything beyond that, target.
How true, how true.
And then once you've done it, then that target you've now done, now that becomes marginal. You can now be counted on to do that.
Do this much, yeah. It kind of ups your goal and ups your, you start to play a bigger game. Is that a, mm-hmm. a correct analogy?
Right.
You become a bigger player. There you go. You become a bigger player.
Yeah. But in a way based on observable reality, not what we imagine we can do.
Mm-hmm. How true. So the monster is all in the perception.
I like it. Perceptioning is not a word, but it should be. I'm going to steal
perceptioning.
It. Perceptioning. What are you doing?
You could probably make it into
no,
one.
I like it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. It's, you know, hey, you want to go get coffee? No, I have to perception for a while.
That would probably get you at least one lifted eyebrow. Okay, just what does that mean? And then you'll get to see, then you'll get to share what perceptioning means, and pretty soon, you know, it might just go global, you never know. You can be the author of the word.
I don't know. My coach has already had me on content creation alert. Like, creating new content is not your problem.
Like, okay, now you have to organize it and get it out there, huh?
Systems.
Creation, I think, sometimes is the easy part. It's the how you pass it on is somewhat more challenging.
Yeah. But there again, breaking it down into the component systems helps because it's all a big guessing game. But when you set it down into systems, prioritizing systems and outcomes, it becomes measurable.
Mm-hmm.
And when it becomes measurable, it becomes trackable. And then we're right back to processes. It's like this is work, you know, this isn't working. Well, where exactly is the problem? Well, it's right here. And so then you know what you're solving instead of going, well, I don't know, let me try something else, just kind of blindly.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So just for example, you know, if we were to look at what I've done over the last year, my systems, well, first of all, I already, you know, I wait too long to look at financial things. So financial things, that's my very next, after the new website design, financial design, that's the very next thing. And what needs to go into that, how long does it take? And it doesn't even take that long. And you know, if I'm not doing it, a system is it easy, is as easy as Monday, 1 to 4, finances, sit your ass down. That's already an improvement, you know, once there's a system for that. And things like, well, are you having any trouble, like, you know, selling programs? No. You having no trouble finding people to go to teleseminars? No. Are people regularly moving from your list into your programs? No. All right, so that's something that's high priority. These are people who have already opted in. I'm not adequately building the bridge and the relationship to get them from one to the other, if that's a good fit for them. So that's something to look at first. Something for me to look at next in terms of systems would be, you know, do you have people who have been through your programs who are raving fans? Yes, most of them. Okay, great. Are they regularly referring people? They refer people, not regularly. They're having a little trouble kind of explaining it all. Well, that's my fault, right? That needs to be clearer so that that's easier for people to do. And then a priority after that is, are you getting more people into this? Because in those two areas, for example, my system is leaky. And it doesn't make any sense to bring in a lot of new people into a system that is already leaking. And so that's why the first thing is, has got to be a better job of managing teaching and educating and providing value to my list so that they have the tools that they need to move forward, if that's a good fit for them, and to get clear and to build a better bridge for people to refer people if they have people who are a good fit. And when those things are in place, then it makes more sense to funnel new people in. But I use that as an example, kind of admitting my own current weaknesses in that regard, because the typical reaction would be, oh, I got to go spread the word. And the reality is like, it's too soon to spread the word. Until we fix those systemic issues. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can throw an example going out there and trying to throw more people into the system, but if you're only still getting a small percentage of conversion out of it, you're really using up more energy for very little benefit, very little reward for both you and for the person coming into your program. I mean, because a lot of people will fall out and not get caught. So it makes a lot of sense to plug up the holes, as you refer to them.
Right. So, and the whole idea is people signed in for a reason. So are they getting what they came for? And in a way that lets them build towards something. So yeah, absolutely. You got it exactly. And I think that sometimes we just kind of look to copy what someone else is doing. Big business, for example, is always about bringing in new leads and new people. And they do so, it appears that they do so effectively, but the truth of the matter is that they actually do it very ineffectively. They just run such huge numbers that they can actually get customers that way. But for smaller, more focused businesses, that would be a disaster. And in fact, even for larger businesses, if they got real about that, they would do much better.
Yeah, the average advertising budget of a large company is just mind-blowing crazy. Most people would never consider spending that kind of money, and traditional businesses who do often find that that's a nearly a back-breaking aspect of running their business that can send them under in a big hurry.
Right. And for big businesses too, you know, it's very it's a very costly system with a very poor return.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
All right. Well, I'm delighted to hear you're having such a positive and productive experience.
I am.
Perceptioning.
I am. I'm having a great perceptioning.
It should be a novel, The Perceptioning. That'll be my next book.
That'll be your next book. Perceptioneering, there you go.
Precision perceptioneering.
Oh, getting fancy.
All right. Oh. Well, delighted to have a chance to chat for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we still got a couple weeks here, so looking forward to seeing how this all pulls together. And congratulations on the social media break.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was was rather nice.
It's one of those jokes that's funny because it's not funny. It's true. You may probably have seen this yourself. So often somebody will post on Facebook, how to make Facebook productive for your business? Step one, delete your Facebook account. Step two, go work on your business.
Hadn't seen that before, but yeah, that's true. So true. So easy to get caught up in it, you know. Back mm-hmm. when email first started, you know, that was the big time sink for people, and we've progressed from there. So now it's faster and faster, and, you know, you can really, really go down the rabbit hole with that one in a real, real quick way.
Right. Yeah. Most of the email I get isn't for me, so to speak.
Oh, it's not.
It's just in my inbox. He certainly didn't invent it, but a great thanks to Ryan Eliason for explaining to me how to do email folders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I use his method as well. That has helped a lot, especially when the VBM class was going on and I was getting, you know, 400 in a day.
Yeah.
Like, this is craziness. And how does anybody have time to go through all of that?
Right. And then other things, you know, it's like, geez, you know, I think I want email from these people, but there's 340 email messages in this folder and I haven't read any of them. Maybe I should unsubscribe.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I have some of those folders myself. The numbers are getting up there, and I keep saying, one of these days I'm going to read those because I'm sure there's good information in there.
Yeah. Well, at some point it comes to a point, and actually it's a good point to round up what we're talking about and wrap things up. It's you know, it becomes clear when you look at, you know, what processes am I working on? What are the strategic objectives? And is this in line with them, even if it's otherwise good material? So, for example, you know, I added, speaking of Facebook, I added 27,000 fans to my Facebook page in less than a year. And
mm-hmm.
there's, you know, it occurred to me and a few other people, there's an opportunity there, you know, how to add 25,000 fans, you know, are you a heart-centered business? How to add 25,000 fans and, you know, some low-cost, effective little strategy seminar about how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, well, it would take an afternoon or two to put it together, but, you know, it would take time to promote and manage and all that. And then I asked myself the question, is this the strategic objective of your business? No. Well, then why are you doing it? Do something in line with what it is you do.
That is such a good point, you know, such a good point.
Yeah.
That there's often lots of good ideas, lots of good information. It isn't always relevant to either the time or the process. That's a really good point. So,
right.
Thank you for bringing that up.
And so this is the advantage of, you know, and I'm talking to myself here because I need to push myself to do this. But that's the advantage of not having this stuff in my head or your head or anyone else's head, but writing it down. These are the objectives. These are where we're going. And
mm-hmm.
getting clear about that what. You know, we started off with what is it that you want, what do you love, and getting clear about that. And
mm-hmm.
so often we just go about our day, we're trying to accomplish things, and we don't really know what it is we're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
When
mm-hmm.
we get it on paper and lay out the systems and the processes, it becomes very clear both what we're trying to accomplish and what the next step is.
So more true now than ever. More true now than ever.
And the beauty of this is, just how beautifully everything is connected. Just when you delve centered and meditative and spiritual and holistic, and you find it leads to, you know, what's on the other side of that, processes and details. Here's the plan, here's the structure. And those that those two fit so nicely together. Once we have that focus, and until we have that focus, it's just a sea of endless detail.
Right, right. I think it helps clarify what's, you know, going back to lesson number one when we're talking about abundance, and, you know, there's definitely, you know, a ton of abundance around us all the time, and we have an abundance of ideas and those kinds of things. And until you really begin to clarify what it is that you want, to use your words, you're just a sea of information. When you become really much more clear on what it is you want and why you want it, then you can begin to pick out those specific bits that line up. You can kind of sort the abundance and separate the wheat from the chaff, so to speak, you know, find the seeds, the kernels that are really going to benefit being planted into your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the hardest conceptual things to get about abundance for a lot of folks is that, you know, they tend to think of it in terms of, how do I get abundance? You live in abundance. You have abundance. You don't get abundance. It just is. But abundance by itself is just potentiality. Mm-hmm. And what they really want to know is, how do I move something that's purely potential into physical realization? And for that, you have to make choices and follow the processes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through the creation process.
Right.
But as far as, you know, geez, why can't I have abundance? You have abundance. We all do.
So I like it. It's all coming together. Awesome.
Perfect.
It's all kind of coming back to the beginning, back to the start of the circle.
Full circle. It's a spiral.
Yeah.
Right. And then the next time you go through all this, it will be with a, you know, with a box full of tools.
So on that note, based on working with people now, I think you've done this for about a year. You've had the healing journey. Is that correct?
The healing journey.
Have you had any feedback from people on whether or not they've repeated the process? From your own personal experience, you know, do you have kind of a suggestion on how often to do it, or on a totally as needed basis?
Well, people have done both. You know, sometimes it's a matter of, it's like these ideas, like the process never stopped. You know, it's like, so for example, you know, Aline and her daughters who went through this program together, you know, they'll catch each other on stuff. And they'll be like, well, you know, Tim says that, you know. And so there's that constant reinforcement, the three of them. And when we did that, we met on Tuesday nights, and they have been meeting on Tuesday nights ever since. They still do. So that you could just feel the energy shift as they came into Tuesday, and they were, it was such a wonderful experience for them that they just continued that, and they get together and do meditation and so forth. I know there are other people who printed out all the transcripts, like Pam describes this, because the transcripts are a lifetime. She goes through them all the time, she says. And versus going, okay, I understand this from a whole new place now, and after a couple months deciding, I'm going to go back to module one and start again. And you'll see the whole thing with different eyes, because you'll be in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you know, you correctly describe it as a circle, but more accurately, it's a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
So the circle comes back to where it started, but you're in the different place when you're back at the beginning.
Yes,
you know,
I
it's
can
like
see that.
Like the T.S. Eliot quote about the end of our exploring to be returned from whence we came and to see the place with new eyes.
So nice quote.
Mm-hmm. And then you can follow the process again and again and again and again, but each time with greater understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been my experience. So you know, it's been a long path for me, but I will not infrequently find myself in a place where I'm, man, this is like when I started, and then I'll immediately realize, like, yeah, except that you recognize everything that's going on, and you know what's coming next, and you know what to deal about it. I said, well, okay, well, that would be different, wouldn't it?
It would be really interesting to, you know, be a fly on your wall, because it sounds like you have some very interesting discussions with yourself.
Yeah, I've learned how to let my mind do its thing while I do my thing.
So the body and the mind aren't always connected, huh? Let it ramble while you are doing other things.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, is there anything else that I need to know, or is this a good point to wrap?
I think this is a good wrapping point.
Okay.
No, you sound like you're in a good place, and the next module will come out tomorrow morning. Well, tomorrow. I won't promise in the morning. A little bit behind.
Okay.
And then we've got yet one more week after that. So,
one more week? Oh, wow. Okay.
So, well, next, where are we here? So, so this week we did healing and living on all levels, and this coming week we're doing the mastery of two worlds, which is a little bit what you just asked me about, living in both, in two worlds at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a week from Monday, we get into the bonus module of 9 steps to manifestation. We move from conception to strategy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm excited for that. Sounds great.
Very, very awesome. Well, have a wonderful, wonderful day.
I will. Thank you. It's sunny and nice out here. I'm not sure how it is in New York, but
freezing rain.
Yeah. Oh, freezing rain. Yeah.
Exactly.
I know you guys are having a cold out there, and I'm feeling sorry for you and a number of friends.
Well, first it was -5, and now it's 40. So it's a mess.
Oh, but goodness gracious.
It's all right.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, a warm place to stay and a roof over your head. So, yeah.
There you go. Food to eat, the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have a great day, and talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Have a great day. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
A week.
Yep. Happy Epiphany.
Yes, the Epiphany. I like that. I didn't know that about the Feast of the Epiphany. That was a new one for me. So I'm looking forward to that. My Epiphany's coming. So. All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Uh-huh. Bye.